Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Great win at the weekend. One magnificent goal. One kind of strange goal.
Yeah.
You'll take them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, all day long, definitely, yeah. We were talking to Ashley Westwood after the game, and I think he attributed the assist to Storm Dennis.
I think I wouldn't. I just think, I mean, I looked at it and I thought, you know, having played, when you do, you work on defensive set pieces, the guy on the post, all he's got to do is make sure the ball doesn't come between him and the post. That's it.
Yeah, I said that. I was surprised at Ings' positioning, really. I mean, yeah, you guard the inside of your post and then you know whether the ball's going wide or not. I think he's been caught in two minds. I think he's seen Westwood kind of swing the ball into the box and whether the ball has, you know, deviated with the wind, he's kind of stepped out and then realised it's coming back in quite quickly. He's tried to step back and he's just caught completely out of position. And fortunately for us, it's crept inside inside of the post.
And how do you evaluate Burnley so far? How well have they done? 11th in the table, 26 games, 34 points. Really, they're only 6 points off fifth place. And with the Man City situation, I'm telling you, Champions League is beckoning.
Let's not get carried away.
Why do you laugh? I mean, I genuinely look at it and think, well, why not?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they're closer to the top four than they are the bottom three now. I mean, that's how good a revival it has been in the last four games. You know, 10 points from 12 has really seen them push. I mean, if they were to get a top 10 finish, that would be a second top 10 finish in three seasons in the Premier League for Burnley, which is absolutely exceptional for, you know, for such a small club working on kind of a, not shoestring budget, but, you know, a smaller budget than a lot of the rivals in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And like you say, depending on the Man City situation, they could easily get a top eight finish, which could land them another Europa League place, which would be mind-blowing.
Well, I mean, I look at it and I genuinely do think that, you know, Burnley should be looking at Europe. I really do. I think they play the type of football that makes them difficult to beat. They've got players that can score. They're a hard team to play against. They're everything you need to be successful in a division like this. Now, you know, I'm not so sure. I mean, they get a lot of stick about the style of football. I happen to think it's effective and winning football. And that's, you know, you play the way based on the personnel that you have.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. I don't see a problem with it. I think they've been successful. I think they've got a good manager. I think the biggest problem is, can they keep him?
Yeah, I know exactly what you say, and I completely agree with you. You know, they seem to be this rhetoric in the Premier League that they, you know, David Luiz came out with it the other season. He labelled them an anti-football side, which I thought was very, very harsh. You know, they've shown over seasons, you know, it's not a fluke that they're still in the Premier League now. They've got this capability of mixing it up against different situations, against different opposition, against different systems. You know, if they need to play, they can play. If they need to do the ugly side of the game, they'll do the ugly side of the game. They can get the ball on the ground. They press hard. They're energetic. They're vibrant. It all relates back to the key core values that Sean Dyche always stresses. You know, they're seen as old-fashioned, but as he keeps saying, they've never been more modern. If you can work hard and you sweat in that shirt, then you've got a great platform to build on, and that's kind of always been his mantra, and they've built on that season on season on season, and it's still effective today. And you know, they just keep getting stronger and stronger. And like I say, if they were to finish top 10 again in the Premier League for a second season out of three, I mean, who can argue how they play football?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I look at them and I have a criticism. I think that they don't have enough swagger. I think they do. I genuinely think they should have a swagger on. I think they've been that good. Like you say, you know, top 10 finishes. They're an established Premier League side now who should be looking up, not looking over their shoulder anymore. They should. I mean, they had that blip when they were in Europe. You know, that was difficult. There's a learning curve from that. But as far as I'm concerned, they're an established Premier League side now who should be looking up and looking at finishing in the top 10 and looking at finishing near the Europa League, or if this season turns out how we think it might, Champions League places are going to be up for grabs. There's no reason why they shouldn't be looking for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing about Darch is that he always keeps his players' feet on the ground. He'll never let them get carried away. They never get too high with a high. They'll never get too low with the lows. They're very humble. They're very hard working. And I think that's a good thing, because if you do get carried away and you do kind of have this swagger that other sides do have, it can catch you up and bite you in the backside, you know, quite quickly. And before you know it, you're dropping down again and you're brought back down to earth with a bump. But yeah, they take it game by game. And every season, I think, you know, they'll always want to try and wrap up survival, and then they'll look to push on. And that's what they keep on doing. And now they've got that chance. You know, there's a lot of teams below them. It's going to be... I'd be very surprised if they did get dragged into any kind of battle for survival now.
I can't see that at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've got a bit more freedom now, and maybe they will have a little bit of swagger in the last 12 games, 13 games or so. And yeah, they can reach up now, and they can look up and start targeting your Evertons and your Wolves and yeah, even your Uniteds and your Sheffield United. Mm.
Well, they've got two winnable games. They've got Bournemouth next on Saturday, and then Newcastle, and after that, Spurs and Man City. So these two next games are huge. And they're must-winners, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, after the run that you've been on, you know, two, three big wins, you know, you get your point against Arsenal as well. You'd like to think that they'll back it up against Bournemouth now. You know, they're struggling a little bit. They've been dragged into trouble, but they'll come scrapping, because, you know, it's more of a must-win game for them than it is for us now, because they're, what are they, 2 points off the bottom three now?
Yep.
They've
yep.
won one out of ten away from home. I mean,
they're struggling.
Sliding, and they need to break this rut that they're in.
Well, they're sleepwalking into trouble. And the thing about it is, you know, if you're talking about scrapping, I don't think they have that in them compared to Burnley. I think, you know, you can't go and scrap against Burnley and expect to win. And that's why I think it's going to be difficult. But I want to talk about your manager, because I think... I'm going to irritate you now. I think he's ready for a bigger club.
Yeah, I mean, there have been whispers over the years, haven't there, that certain clubs have wanted to take him on. At the minute, I don't see which club he goes into. You know, it's one of them, isn't it? It comes back to, he always says he's probably not sexy enough for one of the elite clubs. You know, they're always looking for these European bods, aren't they, to come and take over and try and launch them into the big time, you know, the Champions Leagues and things like that. It's just where he would go at the minute. I think at Burnley he's in a very good position where he calls a lot of the shots. You know, he's not got any kind of... There's no director of football, really, that's kind of hovering over him and putting any pressure on him. He's in a good position. This is his project. You know, everything that's there at Burnley now is a result of what he's brought to the club, his culture, his philosophies. You know, the new training ground has come from the success that he's brought to the club. I'd be very surprised if he was to jump ship anytime soon.
And, I mean, looking at him, he's also quite stubborn. I mean, in terms of... You know, your squad, he very rarely changes the team. I mean, if I'm looking at someone like Ben Gibson, who came for a lot of money for Burnley and just hasn't played. I mean, what's happened there?
Well, we spoke to Sean after the game at St Mary's at the weekend. And, you know, I mean, Matej Vidra is a prime example. He's had one Premier League start since November 2018.
Wow.
He's you know, he's worked hard in training, he's stuck to the task, he's been professional about it, and he comes on, he's been patient, persevered, and he gets his reward. And now we might, you know, he might, hopefully, get a run in the first team. And what Sean was kind of saying is, you don't get handed a shirt. You've got to earn the shirt. And once you've earned the shirt, then it's up to you to prove that you're able to keep it. And, you know, Matej's had to be incredibly patient, but he's worked hard in training week in, week out, throughout the months, throughout the seasons, and you know, now we might get his reward for that.
And Ben Gibson, I don't think there's been a falling out, it's just that he can't get in the side and he's frustrated.
Yeah, he wanted first team football, and I think he was the subject of a few bids from from Watford that didn't meet the club's valuation on transfer deadline day. And I think, you know, it's just a fallout from that, really. As a professional footballer who was successful at Middlesbrough, you just want to be playing football. You want to play games. You don't want to be sat on the sidelines.
I totally agree.
Yeah, how do you get in that side at the minute? You know, you've got Ben Mee and James Tarkowski who are playing out the skin. You know, both, for me, should be in contention for the England squad. It's just one of them. It's not through Dyche not wanting to pick him. It's just through finding a hole to kind of put him in that side.
It's a difficult one to answer, isn't it? Very, very difficult. Anyway, Dan, thank you very much. That's Dan Black from Burnley Express. We'll be back after these words.
Love Sport.
Good evening. This is the Burnley Fan Show, and I'm joined by Natalie Bromley from the No Nay Never podcast. Hi, Natalie. How are you?
I'm grand, thank you. How are you?
Lovely. Not too bad. Not too bad. I wanted to talk to you initially just about the Southampton game. Two different goals scored, let's say, by your lot. Let's start with the second, Mateo Vidra. I mean, it's been a while. It was worth waiting for. It's been a while, but what a fantastic goal that was.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And do you know what? Every single Burnley fan is absolutely delighted for him. He's had a really tough time since he came to Burnley as Mate, and he's just not been able to displace Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes up front. And then he found himself behind the pecking order when Jay came in the summer, Jay Rodriguez, because he then became the next standing. And it's been really frustrating for him, and I think he's had a couple of words with Sean Dyche. Anyways, he has been quite vocal in the press back home about his desire to play football and how frustrated he is, but he's been really patient, and it's his little faith when he scored that goal at the weekend was just a picture, and everyone was delighted for him. And I think as Burnley fans, we've been, certainly in the first half of the season, crying out for something a little bit different, especially when the Barnes and Wood partnership had gone a little bit stale and we weren't perhaps creating as much as we should have been doing. And we were really wanting to see somebody like Vidra come on and just offer something different. So for him to get his chance at the weekend, play as well as he did and score an absolutely fantastic goal, honestly, I'm so delighted for him.
It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I look at Sean Dyche and he does remain loyal to his first 11. He doesn't really change the side much. I mean, I've seen people like Drinkwater come in, and a while ago Nathaniel Chalobah and people like that came in and never really played. He does remain loyal, so it's been difficult for Vidra. Will he get some games now?
Yeah, you think so. I mean, I think we have to be a little bit careful with the Drinkwater situation, because that was very much player-led rather than Sean Dyche-led. I'm not going to put any blame on Dyche for the Drinkwater situation. I think that was purely the players doing, and I think it was right to send him back to Chelsea for what he did. Chalobah, as a previous example, I think you're quite right, and there's been other loan signings that haven't quite worked out. But from Vidra's perspective, I think he will get some immediate games, purely because Chris Wood is going to be out for a while now. Realistically, I think when everybody's fit, I think it will be a toss-up between a Wood and Barnes partnership and a Wood and Jay partnership. But what I really want him to see is for him to start bringing Mate on 60, 70 minutes on the clock, or, you know, certainly if we're going to try and attack teams rather than sit back and try and defend and counter attack on the counter, then I'd like to see Mate given a chance. But you're right, Dyche is stubbornly loyal to some players there. We'll have to see how that works. But I do hope he gets a chance.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Sean Dyche was talking about not really having a team talk, sitting in there playing Candy Crush, because I think something had been written in the Southampton programme that wasn't as, let's say, respectful of Burnley in the way they play. Was that right, or have I got that wrong?
I haven't heard that, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me to hear reports about Burnley being, you know, not getting the respect they deserve. I'm kind of, as a fan, fed up of this at the moment. And we get it every single week on Twitter or on other social media. And it's become very fashionable to get abuse sent our way whenever we beat a certain team. And we see it week in, week out. We get the, oh, they saw, we get called the Brexit Club, which is just ludicrous. We get called, like, we're sucking the life out of the Premier League, and fans will say, oh, I'd rather get relegated to the Championship than have to watch that drivel every week. And I think, no, you wouldn't. You know, when your teams that are playing pretty passing around football but conceding six goals a game in the relegation fight, you'd be crying out for a defence like ours to try and keep you up. And it's getting a little bit tiring, to be honest. And I think we hear it all the time when managers get beat by us. And at the weekend, the Southampton manager was very much like, oh, they bullied us around the park, and we know the direct style of football. There's just so much shade gets thrown our way. And it's just very irritating because we don't get credit for actually using the tools that we have to stay in this league. You know, we don't have creative, fast, flair players because they cost £30, £40, £50 million to bring in, and we don't have that money. And until we can stay in the Premier League long enough to get some money behind us and buy those players, we have to use the team that we've got. And they're a team that defend well, play as a unit, are there for each other. So why should that be frowned upon? And it honestly, it's starting to really irritate me. So whilst I haven't heard that specific story about Candy Crush, it wouldn't surprise me, because I imagine Dash is getting pretty fed up of it himself as well.
Do you know what, Natalie? I'll be honest with you. I if I'm a Burnley fan, I don't really care, because you're 6 points off fifth place. And if as people are saying, due to the Man City situation, eighth place might be a European spot. You're 2 points off that. So
exactly.
You're looking upwards, not over your shoulder. I actually think that, I mean, I know it was difficult for you lot in Europe when you experienced it previously, but you have so much to play for this season. I want to know, what are your expectations? What would be a good end to the season for Burnley?
Well, I think it's a really difficult balance, is this, and I appreciate I'm going to say a few things now that are perhaps a little bit conflicting and a little bit, you know, not quite coming down on one side of the fence. But when you're Burnley Football Club, the expectations every season have to be survival. And once you get to that magic figure, and I think this season it will be above 40 points that you need to survive, but once you get there, anything you do above that is a bonus. Now, I think we've been in the league long enough now to start looking towards a 50-point season rather than a 40-point season. I think that's the natural next step, which in most seasons will probably get you between 10th and 13th. But, you know, the bottom line is that with two wins off safety, and it's, what, February? So I think the expectations of survival are fantastic, and that's not being negative, and that's not having lack of ambition. That's the reality of where we are. Now, anything we can, unfortunately, we're out of the FA Cup, and I would have liked an FA Cup run. But to start looking ahead up at Europe again after some of the challenges we've had this season would be phenomenal. That said, I just want to pick up on a quick point that you said then about Burnley fans not caring. I think there is a.
I think they shouldn't care. That's for me now. I don't think you should give a monkey's about. I'll explain why in a sec.
Yeah, but I guess the point that I'm picking up on, and this is that we do also have to be realistic and understand that football is an entertainment game. Now, unfortunately, the riches of the Premier League have turned the game into a results-orientated game for many clubs, and that has to then take priority over an entertainment-focused game. So I can understand the frustration of some neutrals having to watch Burnley play, because they're putting on the football on the television because they want to watch a game of football and they want to be entertained. But yes, you're quite right. As Burnley fans, at the moment, as long as those results are getting the points on the board and we're suddenly looking at the potential of a European place again, then that takes away the concern about not being entertained with free-flowing Manchester City-Liverpool-esque football every week. So there's a balance, but I guess directly answering the question you said, that the expectations this season and what would be a good result will be, for me, survival. And if we could make that 50-point mark, I would be really, really pleased, because I think that then opens up a window in the summer to attract a different kind of players and maybe a bigger squad to then help you take the next step next season.
I mean, and the reason I say about fans and not really shouldn't really care is because one of my old clubs, Charlton, were very similar to Burnley in terms of where they were. Then all of a sudden, the fans started to demand a little bit more. Oh, we should be going for Europe. So what happened? They splashed cash for the first time And within 18 months, 2 years, they're in League One.
Yeah. Well, do you not remember? Like, I'd say probably about 10 years ago, there was that bracket of Premier League, the old Premier League players like your Villas, Middlesbrough, Charlton, those kinds of players. Those kind of teams who were the epitome of the mid-table mediocrity, weren't they? And the fans did get bored. And like you say, suddenly they then start either pushing or just maybe take their eye off the ball a little bit. And then they've had to go down the leagues. You do have to be very careful what you wish for. But I do think that certainly with Dyche at the helm and the Burnley board, I think they've got their fingers firmly on the pulse with that. They won't let us get excited. Probably a bit too much the other way for our liking. I think we would quite like them to show a little bit more cash. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think the reality of Burnley at the moment is that you just take it one season at a time. And we've just got to try and drown out the noise and the narrative and the anti-football that's coming our way and just get about our business and enjoy it while we can.
And Natalie, I've got to ask, I mean, as well as Burnley have done, I think Sean Dyche is an underrated manager. And I do truly believe at some point there's going to be a point where you might lose him. Are you frightened of that? Because I actually think he's that good.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily... We know that. We know that at Burnley. But again, I would link this back actually to this reputation point that we just touched on then about the anti-football and the dinosaur and the backwards and the sucking the lifeblood out of the Premier League. At the moment, I'm not actually that concerned because whilst the narrative that's being pegged about of every season is that we are old-fashioned and we're dull and it's boring football, fans don't want Dyche. And clubs don't want Dyche, and so that suits us to the ground. It means he's not going to get stolen from us. I think the concern, if you are Dyche, is that if you are a top six side, do you risk your reputation on Dyche? He's not won a trophy, and he's not proven himself in knockout competitions. He's had one season in Europe where he failed to qualify for the group stages. The top six clubs do not have the luxury of allowing managers to train on the job. Look at the pressure Solskjaer's under at United. Maybe, I guess the exceptions at the moment is maybe Lampard at Chelsea. So I think at the moment there'll be a medium step up. And I was at one point worried about the likes of Leicester, but I think they're now under that bigger bracket. I think if we get down to the Championship, we'll lose him. Which will happen at some point, I don't doubt.
Why do you? No, it won't.
It might do.
You got to believe it. You got to be an optimist all the time.
Hey, listen,
it's never happening.
I do. But listen, there is a realism that comes with being a Premier League club, and I'm not being defeatist here. I'm not being negative. But we have a very aging squad at the moment. At the moment, it's at its peak. But we have one or two players in their early 20s, and the rest are 29, 30, 31. The likes of Ben Mee are getting. You know, they're just getting older each season. We've already got the likes of Chelsea and Everton circling around Tarkowski and Nick Pope. It only takes one summer where Pope, Tarkowski, Chris Wood get poached by bigger teams, where our side get a little bit older and we don't have millions in the bank to replace those and we're suddenly in the bottom three. It can happen. So I'm not being negative here. I'm being realistic that it can change at a blink of an eye. But I think where Dyche is concerned, I feel like there's got to be a step to a club like West Ham, you know, that kind of like Everton maybe. Oh, I suppose Everton have got Ancelotti. So I guess, I'll put that back at you then. What Premier League club do you think would come in for Dyche? I would suggest two, West Ham or Newcastle. I can't think of anybody else.
I look at Dyche and I think, you know, I'm looking at the table now. There's a good few teams. I actually thought he could have gone to Everton. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I did too. I was worried about Everton.
He's cutting his cloth according to what he's got. And I think he's a manager who can play fancy football. He can mix it with the best. I really do.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
I've got to ask, in just wrapping this up, you've got a couple of decent games coming up. At home to Bournemouth and away to Newcastle as well. Yeah, home to Bournemouth, away to Newcastle. How do you see those two going?
Either way, you look at it on paper and you think Bournemouth are struggling. We're at home. We're currently riding high with some fantastic points. You'd expect us to beat Bournemouth at home. So I'm expecting 3 points from that. Newcastle, I think it's going to be a really tough game. I think there was a lot of, and again, this reputational thing and perhaps this snobbery of certain players and certain managers in the league. But poor Steve Bruce got an awful lot of mocking, didn't he, when he took over at Newcastle? Yeah. And people were saying, oh, well, they're down, and oh, God, he's a dinosaur. And look at what a fantastic job he's done. And he's actually got them playing some really nice football, and he's got them believing in themselves again. Mm. So I think going over to Newcastle would be a really tough game. So if we could get a point at St James, I'd be delighted. I would expect us to try and win at home to Bournemouth. Because then after that, we've got City and Spurs. We've got a couple of games that are really tough. But you know what? We're on 34 points, and we're two wins off safety. You would expect, you think 40 points will do it. So I think, you know, beat Bournemouth, get a point from Newcastle. I would be absolutely delighted.
Ah, 4 points out of six. Natalie, thank you very much. Fantastic. Really lovely to speak to you.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.